Welcome to Behind the Headlines, your daily roundup of stories our reporters have been covering across the UK today. Not always the most serious, we do try to find the more talkable issues or often the more quirky or fun stories and give them a bit more time than we can usually fit into our hourly news bulletins. And today we build up to Northern Ireland's largest ever sporting event.
Beautiful spot, great golf course, fun people to be around. The Irish are always very welcoming.
Everybody's so friendly.
Absolutely sensational.
We look into why prices are rising at a faster rate than expected. And our Oasis correspondent has the latest from Heaton Park.
A massive green fence has appeared on Gallagher Hill where people were watching the show for free just a few days ago.
And we start in Northern Ireland, where golf fans from all over the world are descending on the Causeway Coast ahead of the largest sporting event ever to be held there. The 153rd Open starts tomorrow, with practices continuing today at Royal Portrush. The tournament's expected to boost the economy by more than £200 million. Our reporter Chelsea Keeley spent the day in town.
The main action's happening on the course, but people in the town centre are enjoying free entertainment and what local hospitality has to offer. Many have travelled far and wide, including Nigel from Sydney, Australia. He's dressed for the occasion, draped in a red, white and blue visor, trousers, and paired that with a kangaroo top. What made you want to come dressed like this?
Well, obviously, I'm looking forward to seeing our Australian boys and supporting them. So I think if they can see that I'm from Australia, that might give them a bit of a spark and an inspiration.
The tournament officially kicks off tomorrow.
Now, we've heard about off the course, but what about on it? Our sports reporter Gareth McCulloch has the latest from Royal Portrush Golf Club.
Here on the course at Royal Portrush, it's a hive of activity as thousands of fans flood through the gates ahead of tomorrow's opening day. Many of them are dreaming of a victory for home favourite Rory McIlroy come Sunday. Having completed the career Grand Slam with his Masters win in April, the world number two has struggled to regain that form. But he's feeling confident coming into this week.
I try to go about my business. I try to give the best of myself every time I'm out there. And it's amounted to some pretty nice things so far. And I still feel like there's a lot left in there. So the story certainly isn't over.
McIlroy tees off alongside Ryder Cup teammate Tommy Fleetwood and American Justin Thomas at 3:10 tomorrow for his opening round. And while it's sparkling sunshine at present here, that weather is expected to change for the first day of tournament play, with heavy rain showers and wind on the horizon. With 278,000 patrons descending on the north coast over the course of this week, it's set to be another thrilling edition of the oldest major championship in world golf.
Still to come on Behind the Headlines, reaction to some Brexit red tape being cut.
I don't think they fully understand the impact that some of the paperwork has had an effect on us.
And keeping people out of the Manchester Oasis gigs.
Just come to see if we can hear anything.
But first, a teenager who murdered his mum, brother and sister has today been spared a whole life order. Nicholas Prosper, who's 19, killed his family last year at the flat that they shared in Luton. His case was referred to the Court of Appeal after the Solicitor General deemed his sentence unduly lenient. Well, our senior reporter Zoe Head-Thomas has been covering this for us. Zoe, what sentence was he handed for his crimes?
In March, a judge told him he'd spend the next 49 years behind bars, and that's for the murders of his mum, Juliana Falcon, and younger siblings, Carl and Giselle Prosper, along with additional offences. Indeed, Prosper used a shotgun to commit these atrocities, but he bought it using a fake licence he had forged himself. And the court heard he'd also planned to commit a mass murder at his former primary school. He'd even spent over a year meticulously planning these killings, hoping to become a notorious murderer. But police apprehended him on that day and arrested him. And the weapon, along with 33 cartridges, were found. He later pleaded guilty to all of these offences and was sentenced at Luton Crown Court.
And in making her decision, what did the judge say in court today?
Well, Lady Chief Justice Baroness Carr took several factors into account today, and those included his previous guilty plea, the fact that the mass school shooting, despite being planned, had not been carried out, and his age. And she said that these factors had already been considered by Mrs. Justice Sheema Grubb when she told Prosper in March that he'd spend almost five decades behind bars. She went on to say that had the offender been 21 or over at the time of the killings, a whole life order would undoubtedly have been made.
But could such an order ever have been imposed legally?
Well, yes, actually, a change in the law in 2022 now allows judges to consider this type of punishment for individuals aged between 18 and 20. However, no defendant in that age bracket has received a sentence since.
Next, a nurse who was suspended after complaining about a transgender doctor using a female changing room has been cleared of gross misconduct. Sandy Peggy from Fife was told none of the allegations of bullying had been upheld ahead of today's employment tribunal in Dundee. Our reporter Dale Eaton is there.
Speaking before today's proceedings began, Sandy Peggy's solicitor Margaret Gribben told us that NHS Fife's internal process had cleared her of all allegations.
Sandy is relieved and delighted that this 18-month-long internal process has concluded and cleared her of all allegations.
The misconduct charges were dropped at a disciplinary meeting separate to the tribunal. First Minister John Swinney says the health board still has his backing.
I've got confidence in NHS Fife and they've to deliver the healthcare on the healthcare needs of people in Fife, and that's what I expect them to concentrate in doing.
Before proceedings began this morning, a number of Nurse Peggy supporters gathered with banners, with one of them reading, "We are all Sandy Peggy." The tribunal today heard evidence from Isla Bumba, NHS Fife's Equality and Human Rights Lead Officer. She told of how she researched the policies of other health boards, as there were no regional policies regarding trans employees in 2023. The inquiry continues.
Still to come, we're at a London market to talk import rules and no more Gallagher Hill in Manchester. But first, there's been a surprise jump in the rate at which prices increased in the UK last month. Official figures show that inflation rose to 3.6% in June. That's an uptick of 0.2% on May's numbers. Our political reporter Tom Claiborne has more.
These figures come somewhat as a surprise, with most economists believing there'd be no change on 2 months ago. However, fuel and transport costs rose the most, with airfare prices seeing their largest monthly increase for 7 years, while food prices surged for the third month running. Shadow Chancellor Mel Stride says the government must also take some responsibility here.
They're borrowing a lot of money, spending a lot of money to stoke inflation. They put a lot of tax on businesses, and some of that tax is being passed on by way of higher prices. And of course, this means interest rates higher.
The rate is the highest the UK has seen since January 2024, but it's far below what we got in 2023, 2022, and the last few months of 2021. Defence Secretary John Healey says there's plenty of reasons to remain optimistic.
The fundamentals are improving. We've stabilised the economy, we've put an end to those double-digit inflation figures we saw under the previous government, and we've now had 4 interest rate cuts in the last 12 months alone.
The Bank of England next meets on August the 7th to decide what to do with UK interest rates, a tool that can help keep inflation in check.
Well, sticking with the economy, and it's been a while since we've talked Brexit trade deals, but we've been catching up with a trader in New Covent Garden about the red tape that's being cut around importing fresh produce from the EU. It'll see an end to costly checks, which since Brexit have been causing businesses headaches. Our reporter Claire Bode chatted with fruit trader Jason about the changes.
It's great to see the government actually showing an interest in New Covent Garden market, and not just New Covent Garden market, our industry. But at the end of the day, we can all talk the talk. We've got to see things that come into action. And we need support. We need support in this industry. And it's not just in this industry.
How important is it that government ministers come down and talk to traders like yourself to make sure that this deal is the best it can be for you?
I don't think they fully understand the impact that some of the paperwork has had an effect on us. We're dealing with fresh produce that's coming over daily. And, you know, we're getting delays, and you can have shipments being held up for 24 hours, 48 hours. It can cost thousands. And then that puts a strain on your relationship with your partners in the EU when you're bringing across. So there's lots of different things we can actually work on, but we need action. We need action now.
And how vital is trading with the EU for your business?
It's vital, and it's not just the EU. You know, we deal all across the world. You go into a Thai restaurant, you want to eat Thai products. You know, people want to eat a strawberry all year round. You know, unfortunately, we can't be self-sufficient in the UK. We promote UK produce and we're very proud of UK produce, but we can't live off of UK produce. We need to be dealing with Europe. And in all fairness, a lot of European governments have been far more supportive than our own government have been.
And finally, as tens of thousands more Oasis fans head to Heaton Park this evening for the third of the band's Manchester gigs, there are strict warnings for those who don't have tickets. Huge fences have been put up at what's become a popular vantage point over the weekend, with security on hand too. Our senior reporter, or these days she's more our Oasis correspondent, Olivia Davies, is on so-called Gallagher Hill.
People are being told not to travel here unless they have a ticket, but some have decided to come here anyway, hoping to get a listen.
Well, we missed out on the tickets, so we've travelled all the way over from Wakefield. We were going to go on the hill.
My son couldn't go because he was too young, so we've just come to see if we can hear anything. So that's it.
The council say they've had to take these measures, one, to protect the environment and livestock, and two, to keep people safe. I've been speaking to some of the people who are lucky enough to get inside the gig.
No, I've avoided everything. Avoided everything, so it's all like brand new.
I've been working 30 years.
Yeah, oh my god. Have you been to any of the gigs before, or is this the first one?
My first Oasis.
All of the songs. I've literally been listening to them every day.
The wall's going to remain on so-called Gallagher Hill for the last of the two gigs this weekend.
And you can find more on these and other stories on the news pages of our radio station websites. Don't forget to come back here tomorrow. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the Rayo app. A new episode of Behind the Headlines is uploaded every weekday evening.